Welcome to the Retail Insider video interview series. I'm your host, Craig Patterson, and we're joined here today with a special guest. This is Josh Katz. He's Assistant Vice President of Leasing at RioCan. You're based in Toronto. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks so much, Craig. Thanks for having me.
And now just a quick word from our sponsor, Sajo, Canada's first specialized retail builder. Visit the link in our show notes to see Sajo's holistic approach and transdisciplinary team to explore and understand your needs. Now, back to our podcast.
Now, how did you get into the industry and how long have you been working in commercial real estate?
So I actually got my first job right out of university at Smart Centers, and that was in 2008, so going on about 16 years. And that was an interesting time, certainly, to join a commercial real estate company right when the financial collapse happened. But it was a great place to learn, and I had some great mentors there. I spent about a year and a half there. Worked with John Marino at the Marino Group for about a couple years. And then I was at Crombie REIT for a few years. And now I've been at RioCan for about 10.
You must have seen a lot of stuff over time with commercial real estate. There's been some ups and downs. The pandemic must have been really fascinating to watch after having, you know, gotten into the industry and you know, having been at a low in the economy. And we've had, you know, some boom time as well, at least a bit prior to the pandemic.
The pandemic, I mean, the cliche of unprecedented times, I think everyone's sick of hearing that, but it really was. And it was a great learning experience to really gain a better appreciation for what our tenants actually experience and how important even a day of sales is, let alone month on end of being shut down. So it was certainly an interesting time of, you know, a mixed story of some very challenging categories of retail and some that thrived during it and how that's kind of settled since then.
Well, during the pandemic, there was construction of a very significant project in Toronto, The Well, which RioCan's involved in. Let's talk a little bit about The Well.
The Well is probably our most significant development to date and probably will be for a very long time. It's really going to change the face of Western downtown in Toronto about how that whole area lives, shops, works, plays and eats. So we're really excited that it's opened. It's a magnificent looking development. And we're really excited about the tenant mix that's come together there.
Let's talk a little bit about the tenants. So we've got some that have certainly opened already. We've got some that are on the way as well, like I think Sephora. Let's talk a little bit about the retail mix at The Well. And then we'll get into the food market after that, because that's going to, I think, be a game changer for foot traffic.
RioCan has a long history of being great at necessity-based retail for, you know, food, fitness services, all that sort of merchandising mix. And what we wanted to do at The Well was do that with a bit of a different spin. So we got operators that maybe aren't as, you know, commonly found in those sorts of developments in our portfolio. And we also wanted to add some other unique uses on top of that, including some fashion and stuff that you can't just find everywhere. So, you know, for our fitness operator, we signed up with Sweat and Tonic, who was probably one of the top boutique fitness operators in Toronto at the time, with one location at Yonge and Shooter. And they've since opened with incredible fanfare, and they're bringing in, you know, well over 1,000 people a day on site to do their fitness classes. You know, and then at the same time, we still have a Shoppers Drug Mart on site to fit people's daily and weekly needs. So we tried to really focus the mix around a mix of those two types of operators that can bring people in for their daily, weekly, monthly, annual visits.
Now, there are people living on site in terms of there's actually a built-in community of consumers at The Well. There's rental apartment buildings as well as condominiums. I think the condominiums were in partnership with Tridel.
Correct. So we sold the air rights to Tridel, probably going back to 2017 or 2018. Then there's three rental towers where we are partners on one of them with Woodbourne, and then Woodbourne purchased the other two from us, and they own those on their own. The largest residential building on site is 450 The Well, and that's the rental tower we're partners in. And that's been, you know, as soon as we get permits signed off on units, we're leasing them up. And so far, we've had great responses from people who are moving in there.
Building rental on such a property, that creates a consistent stream of income. And what I mean is rental apartments specifically in a project.
It's very secure income. The rents we're getting there are beating what we expected on those. When, you know, Toronto's just such a great rental market that we're adding residential rentals on any project where we can.
We're gonna have some really interesting retailers in here. Got Style, a fashion retailer, which is established in the Distillery District. Sephora, Lululemon. I really like the Adidas store. What's it called? The Bullnose? It's the way that it's built. It kind of comes to a corner, and it's got a really interesting design to the store.
Part of the retail strategy was kind of targeting those nationals you love, like an Adidas, a Sephora, Lululemon, Indigo, and then also getting those local legends like Got Style, Suitables, Sweat and Tonic. And I think Got Style, she has such a great offering and such a loyal fan base in the city, that bringing her operation into the well is going to bring such a great customer base. And hopefully they get to experience some of the other stuff while they're there.
I've gotten a tour of more than one tour actually of the well. We were provided various names of, some of the vendors that would be in the food market, but of course things may change. Are you able to share anything about what type of say food and beverage options that visitors would be able to experience?
The food market is really going to be something the city hasn't really seen, where it's not just prepared food vendors like a food hall or court. We're going to have a fresh green grocer there called Little Harvest, and they're a unique operation that's really going to focus on, fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, cheese, and meats. But then we'll also have that prepared food offering with, a good list of what I like to call local legends in Toronto, where we've got Rosie's Burgers, who's one of the best burger operators in the city. We've got La Cubana with a few locations selling Cuban food, Gus Tacos, which is, one of the best taco vendors in the city. So we didn't go to some of those, regular food court operators, which are great and have a great business, and they fill a certain service for other food courts in the city. We tried to do something a little different here, and we think it's going to draw traffic from all over the city, where you can't really find all those names under one roof anywhere else. And then in the middle, we've got a beautiful bar that we've built that will serve the entire market, as we have one liquor license for the whole 70,000 square foot market. So you can come with a friend, each grab a beer, one grabs a burger, one grabs some tacos, all sit together. We'll have live music down there, games down there. And we really think it's going to be a placemaking outlet in the city.
What's the capacity of the place? How many people can you fit in there at once?
We have somewhere around 800 seats, I believe, but the total capacity is over 2,000.
Tell us a bit about the full service restaurants I don't know if any are open in the well yet, but will be opening if they aren't already.
So a few have opened now, and so far we've seen some great results. The showpiece of the whole development is a restaurant located up on the 38th floor of the office tower. It's called Era. It's operated by the Oliver and Bonaccini Group, and it's an 11,000 square foot high-end steak and seafood restaurant with a 500 seat patio up on the roof. And it's going to be a showpiece. It's got views that you can see all around the city, unobstructed, and there's really nothing like it. And the food is fantastic. And then we've also got three concepts from Calgary that are operated by the Concord Group, which is also part of Oliver and Bonaccini, being Lulu Bar, which is open now, and it's Pan Pacific food. It's delicious if you haven't tried it. Bar Bridget and The National. And The National is going to be a 20,000 square foot sports bar meets gaming room, where they've got six bowling lanes and all sorts of other games, and they'll have a full beer garden all summer. So the food is really the focus at the well, and we're super excited with how it's come together so far. And then also on Wellington, we're going to have L'Avenue, which is a first to market brunch concept from Montreal, which has also been having some great buzz around. And then we have a French bistro called La Plume and a British themed restaurant called the Dorset. And we actually just toured those restaurants all this morning. Everything along Wellington, except for one or two, are going to be open by the end of May. And it's going to be phenomenal with patios along the whole frontage.
I can't wait to visit. I definitely want to attend the opening of the food market because those openings can be a lot of fun. Let's talk about a couple of other areas in Toronto here. You're heavily active in leasing in the Toronto area. The Yonge and Eglinton Centre, I think now with the Crosstown LRT, the sidewalks have been opened. I know that during the pandemic, there was a bit of disruption around just being able to navigate the street front right, at the intersection. How are things up there? I haven't been there in a while.
So it's actually, we're starting to be able to breathe again in the area, which is fantastic. The above ground work is almost completely finished, which is great. Traffic's moving again. People can cross the street again freely. I mean, that mall really has benefited so greatly from its connection to the subway. And previous to the subway tunnel closure, we were getting tens of thousands of visitors a day. Since then, the traffic's been way down, and we're wise to that. But now that not only are we going to have access to the subway again, which we're hoping for this year, we'll also have the LRT connection at the same entrance. We think the traffic through the mall is only going to get that much better, and we're really looking at reimagining that mall over the next few years, and bringing in some really exciting concepts that'll kind of change the face of Yonge and Eglinton.
The Yonge and Eglinton area is growing like crazy. There's so many new residential buildings going up and thousands of units that are being built. It's quite exciting. And I think there's a lot of retail opportunities that would certainly come with that population growth. Because the area, I don't want to say is underserved by retail. Well, maybe it is a bit, but there's certain categories of retail that you wouldn't find at Yonge and Eglinton that you'd find downtown, like, a strong menswear store.
It's very convenience based, and we think there is room for a little more retail, and also, community services. Getting in the best physiotherapy office and the personal services that people are really looking for in that area. We want to target those and make sure it's something that people want to come back to time and time again.
Excellent. Now let's talk about another rapidly growing area of Toronto, a little bit closer to downtown, or I guess technically in the downtown core, the Bloor-Yorkville area. RioCan, which traditionally been more of a, say, a suburban developer and landlord, has come into the downtown core, is involved in mixed-use projects. We've got 11 Yorkville Avenue, which is a mixed-use project which includes a tall residential building with retail or commercial at its base. Let's talk a bit about the retail and what's happening there, because there's an exciting tenant announcement.
It's a very exciting project. We're super happy about how it's coming together, and we have two levels of retail there, and second floor retail, any developer knows, is always somewhat challenging to lease. You have to find the right user that can really see the vision, and being in an area like Yonge and Yorkville made it made it a compelling offering to a lot of great operators. But what we're very happy with is we were able to conclude a deal with Sweat and Tonic to do their third location in Toronto on the full second floor of our retail podium. So that'll be around 18,000 square feet. And the designs they're putting together there are spectacular. They like to kind of focus their design on a specific area that they're going into. And with Yorkville being what it is as a luxury node, this is going to be a luxury fitness offering like the city has not seen before.
Can you tell me a little bit about how the area around it is forming from what you know? I don't think it's just RioCan, but there's developers basically creating kind of a new Yorkville, which is north of Holt-Renfrew, on Cumberland and Yorkville Avenue.
The luxury on Bloor Street has always historically kind of stopped at Yonge, but now it's getting beyond Yonge. And the luxury on Cumberland and Yorkville has historically stopped at Bay, really. And now, with our development, Pemberton next to us, even the Four Seasons years ago, that's starting to stretch now all the way to Yonge Street. And between ourselves, Pemberton, and Cumberland Terrace behind us, there are long-term plans to really build a whole new mixed-use community with great parks and connectivity to Bloor Street that will, connect it to those areas west of Bay Street that historically was disconnected from.
Now, the 11 Yorkville Avenue project is well under construction. Do we even know the timeline around, say, the Cumberland Terrace redevelopment? I'm just curious how the neighborhood is going to develop and if there's any, end in sight.
Construction in Toronto, I don't think there's any end in sight, but I know the Pemberton project next to us is probably a few years behind us, maybe 3, 4 years past us for completion. Cumberland Terrace, I'm just not sure at this point. I think they're still working through some entitlement issues there, but I'm not sure.
These developments are quite exciting. Moving away from Toronto a little bit, let's talk about Edmonton quickly. RioCan is a partial owner of the South Edmonton Common Project. Let's talk a little bit about that and about a few Chick-fil-A deals which were done recently too.
So, I mean, South Edmonton Common is probably in the top three power centers in the country. It's got all the major players. The sales per square foot have always been, in the top performing levels. And, in the portions that we owned, the site was developed probably, over time, 15, 20 years ago, at a time when fashion retail was leasing up a lot of the space to do their 5 to 10,000 square foot fashion store. And over time, that category has shrank a little bit. It's still got a purpose, and there's some great operators that thrive, but you just don't need as much space. So we're looking at South Edmonton Common now as an opportunity to take it as a great piece of dirt, a great dot on the map that's got some of the best demographics, some of the best traffic patterns in the region, really, and reimagine it. And that's something that we're always doing at RioCan is trying to think, okay, is this the highest and best use? Let's not just backfill with the next user. Let's think of a way to make the center better and to thrive for the long term. So we're looking now at demolishing a 30,000 square foot strip of that fashion style retail, building a 35,000 square foot single user building and a drive-through pad in the parking lot. And that's something that we have some exciting tenants to announce, hopefully in the next 6 months. And elsewhere on site, we took an end cap that used to be a fashion use, and we're starting demolition on it in the next couple weeks, and that will become one of the first Chick-fil-A's in Edmonton. So we're really excited to bring them to South Edmonton Common. We think the volumes they'll do there will be some of the best they do in the country, and we all know those are huge already.
Is there more than one deal for Chick-fil-A that was done with RioCan recently, or what's happening there?
Yeah, absolutely. We've done a few with them in Alberta, one other in Edmonton, and one in Calgary. And we'll be able to announce those sites soon. But I know they've also announced their West Edmonton Mall site, so, and a one on McLeod Trail in Calgary. So they're definitely coming into the province in a big way. And they've managed to get, I like to say they squeezed water out of a stone by finding drive-through pads in these markets where, the incumbents have really taken up most of the available ones.
Obviously, RioCan's doing some with South Edmonton Common, but it is harder and harder to come by space, I think, for especially food service businesses in the suburbs looking for space that, say, would have a drive-through.
We completed a single-story retail development in North Oshawa. It's actually we're still building out some phases now, but there's a good chance that might be one of the last ones that we actually build ground up. You never know what happens, but single-story retail is becoming harder and harder to make sense of with the residential need in Canada, and also with the just trying to get them to hurdle with construction costs. The rents you need are just, that much higher now, where certain uses can pay it, but I don't know if you can fill a shopping center with it. So mixed use is really the way that most developers are going now.
Are we seeing a lot of demand from, say, grocery anchored plazas, whether or not they're one or two floors?
Our suburban business, which is really the core of our business, has never been so busy. Our occupancy is at record highs, and when a space comes up in a good suburb, we're getting multiple offers on them from quick service restaurants, personal services, even some retail as well. Anything food related is still just on fire. And anywhere where there's a grocery anchor, a drugstore, liquor store, things are just leasing up really quick.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been Josh Katz, Assistant Vice President of Leasing at RioCan. Thank you so much for joining us, Josh.
Thanks again, Craig. Appreciate you having me here.
And I'm Craig Patterson. I'm the founder and publisher of Retail Insider Media. Thank you so much for watching us today or listening to us. If you're listening to us on the podcast channel, be sure to subscribe if you haven't already on whatever platform you're consuming this on or wish to. Thank you so much again for joining us here. Take care and bye for now.